Our topic tonight out of the life of Solomon is Solomon and his wives out of 1 Kings chapter 11. And as you can imagine, that could be a very big topic. And so, as we'll see here, King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh. Now it says as well as the daughter of Pharaoh because it seems that the daughter of Pharaoh was his first wife. I entered into an agreement with Egypt to marry the daughter of Pharaoh, and so there was this peace agreement between Israel and Egypt, and that seems to be the reason that they entered into marriage. He married to her even before the temple was built, even before the palace was built. She's mentioned in the Bible. And so, but then in addition to her, he loved also many other foreign women. Women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonites, the Hittites, all kinds of ites. And from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them. Surely they will turn away your hearts after other gods. That's what the Word of God said. That's what the Word of God warned. That's the Word of God told us. And that principle still applies today. That we are not to be unequally yoked with people who do not have the same faith that we do. And there's good reason, because they will turn our hearts, in most instances, will turn our hearts away from our allegiance to God. Sometimes we see in a situation like that, the unbelieving person become a little bit more spiritual, but then correspondingly, the person who was of a stronger faith will then lessen in their faith or in their walk with the Lord, at best, if not a total leaving of the Lord. And there is, I've mentioned this before here, but I think it's worth mentioning again, there's one surefire way, maybe others, but one surefire way to make sure you never marry someone of that is unequally yoked with you, that is not of the same faith as you. And that one sure way is to never date someone who is not of the same faith that you are. Pretty hard to marry someone you don't date. I mean, maybe some instances that happen still nowadays, but not too often. You know, maybe if someone's drunk in Las Vegas, it might happen. But other than that, it doesn't happen too often that people get married without dating. And so if you never date a person who is not already equally yoked with you, already in the same faith with you, then you will not end up marrying them. But that's usually where the problem starts. People become friends, and that's okay. It's good to have lots of friends, even outside of our faith, so we can share the Word of God with them. But it's not good to have a lot of friends or even close friends that are not of the same sex as us, you know, because problems like this end up happening. Those friendships tend to develop into romantic relationships. And so better to stay on the same sex in personal friendships or in group settings. Certainly in group settings, you know, it's good to be in intersex type of friendships and groups, just as in the congregation and other type of settings. But to get one-on-one friendship, good to keep it among the same sex that you are. And then share our faith with other people and unbelievers, that is good. But again, developing a friendship, a close friendship that could develop into a dating relationship, that can develop into a marriage, should only be done and conducted with people who are of the same faith. And for the very reason that Solomon and unfortunately others have taught us from the past. As the Word of God said, and it's quoting from Deuteronomy, it's quoting from Moses, surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Do not intermarry with them. Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. Well, that's quite a bit to keep you busy, right? Some people wondered, what did Solomon do with all of those wives? Well, the question is not, what did Solomon do with all of those wives? The question is, what did all those wives do with Solomon? And the next text gives us the answer. His wives turned away his heart. And when Solomon was old, and so to his credit, it wasn't until he was old, So we do have, he reigned for 40 years, and so we can assume that most of those 40 years he reigned well. But when he was old, his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. And so even though he lasted and held out for quite some time, he built the temple, he followed through with that, dedicated the temple, and was loyal to God for many years. And so some people will use that as an excuse. Well, hey, I know someone who married someone not of the same faith, and they're still strong in the Lord, and they're still serving the Lord. But who knows what will happen as years go on? It happened for Solomon. Not until he was old did he lose his faith. And as we will play out the story, not all of it tonight, we will see it caused disaster in the kingdom that has resulted in the loss of souls for God's kingdom. Untold how many. The nation splits after this and never comes back together again. 10 of the tribes never have a good king and never follow the Lord ever again. All in part because of Solomon loving many wives and his heart being taken away from them. Sad, sad, sad story. You know, we have good reason to believe Solomon came back to the Lord, and Solomon has a place reserved for him in heaven. Solomon is saved. At least we have reason to believe, and we'll get that from the book of Ecclesiastes when we finish that up in another sermon. But how many people did not come back to the Lord? Again, 10 of the tribes lost their faith and got involved in the gods of these foreign wives, which they might not have if Solomon would have remained firm, if Solomon would have stayed faithful to God, if Solomon would have remained faithful to God's word and following God's word. All of history could be different. All of history could be different. The whole history of Israel could be different. We might have never had to have a split in the nation. We might not have ever had to have a civil war. We might not have ever had to have bad kings. We might have gone from righteousness to righteousness. The Messiah might have been able to come to that Solomon's temple and might have been accepted in that temple. And all of history would be different, if not for Solomon, if not for Adam and Eve, if not for wrong choices made by other people. Makes me wonder sometimes about wrong choices that I've made. And I might grieve over those choices, and it might come back to my mind, and I may feel sorry about it and repent over it, but have no knowledge of how that wrong decision, that wrong word, that misspoken deed, or that lack of fulfilling something or doing something that I was supposed to do, the end result of how that plays out in other people's lives. And how that might affect other people's lives and other people's lives and other people's lives. How many kids did Solomon have? The Bible doesn't tell us. 1,000 women, and the Bible doesn't tell us how many kids. How many good kids did Solomon end up with? The Bible doesn't record one. His kingdom gets turned over to one, and he's the only one, I think, that we know his name. And he didn't turn out too wise. Sad. Very sad. Because of this one area. This one area. Solomon was doing great, everything else. Wrote the great book of Proverbs, wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, built the temple, brought peace to Israel, expanded the kingdom, and almost to the whole entire borders that were promised to Abraham. But that one area, that one thing he lacketh, and that one area is a stumbling block to many, many people. Getting involved in wrong relationships is the downfall of many people. And Satan knows that and uses it over and over and over again. You need to be very careful, because God created us so that it is good for us to not be alone, or it is not good for us to be alone. So God created us as beings that want to be together with other people. But better to be single the rest of our lives And not alone, because we're never alone with the Lord, and God's given us congregational family and all kinds of other things. But better to be single than to be mismatched. And for many people, they have found that the loneliest people are not single people, but the loneliest people are people who are married but not matched. And there's a big difference between being married and being matched. It's wonderful when those two come together, that a couple are matched together in personality and traits and character and in faith and harmony and working together and moving together, striving for God's purpose, one like the God family is one, and able to serve the Lord in joy and in fullness. How wonderful that is. How great that is. How beautiful that is. And that's God's ideal. Because it demonstrates the unity of heaven. It demonstrates the fullness of God. But Solomon didn't follow that. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 6, verse 7. Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all of his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. Do you know what some of these ladies sacrificed to their gods? Their own children. That's right. Abomination. Abomination. And he built these statues, made of metal, the places for fire pit inside them, and stoked them until they got burning hot, and placed the babies on their arms. Abomination to the Lord. The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. How about us? What is the record book in heaven? The book of Kings, the book of Chronicles writes down the life of Solomon. And the record book of heaven writes down about our lives. What does God write down in our life? Have we been faithful to the Lord our God? Are we doing what he has commanded? Are we walking in his ways? Are we walking in his light? That's what it's all about. Life is not about job and a career and marriage and kids. That's all extras. It's not about fun and recreation and toys and vacations. It's about knowing God, loving God, serving God, following God, obeying God, entering into the joy of the Lord, and bringing other people to heaven so that heaven can be full. And then heaven will be full for eternity with all of those things that our natural needs are for fellowship and for security and for purpose and for usefulness and for rest and relaxation and activity. I have all of eternity to enjoy all of those things 24/7. Now is the time to be getting ready for heaven and bringing as many people into heaven with us as possible. And again, all the other stuff that's still here on this earth are just extras that come along with the package that God has promised to us if we follow him, that he will add to us all of these things if we seek him first. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added onto you. Get our priorities right. Put God first, and then let him add the other stuff as he sees fit. 1 Kings 11, 11, the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days. For the sake of your father David, I will tear it out of the hand of your son. Like I said, we'll get into that story another week. That is the end result. And here it is, one verse right after the other verses, putting it right together with the problem was Solomon's marrying these other women and being turned from the loyalty to his God to the foreign gods. That was the problem. And that's what caused the kingdom to be rent and the sad results from there on out. Now let's look at that chapter that was quoted in 1 Kings. 1 Kings really could be the Haftorah portion for this Torah portion. From Deuteronomy 17, verse 17, where Moses specifically wrote the very words that were quoted there in 1 Kings. Neither shall he multiply, talking specifically about kings. Here in Deuteronomy 17, it's amazing. Moses wrote Deuteronomy hundreds of years before we even asked for a king. But God knew it. God foresaw it. God, you know, it's again just another testimony of how accurate the Bible is, that the Bible is written by God or inspired by God, given to mankind, that God is real. The Bible is not just man-made fables, but that God is real. He knows what he's doing. He knows the future. He knows what's best for us. He told Moses hundreds of years before we even asked for a king, he says, when you enter the land and you ask for a king, the king shall not multiply horses, and neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. God, speaking to Moses, was looking down hundreds of years into the future and saw Solomon. And he told Moses, write this down as a warning to Solomon. I'm going to go and speak to him twice and give him a warning. I'm going to have his father David give him warnings, but I want you to give him a warning also. God is love. Oh, what mercy. He sends us warning after warning after warning, message after message after message, entreaty after entreaty to get us to follow him because he loves us. God put that in there just for Solomon. I wonder what verse he put in there just for me. I wonder what verse he put in there just for you. Maybe look for it. You know, maybe we should look for it this week. Look through the Bible. Which verse did you write knowing that down through the ages I would come along and this is what I would need to hear? I'm sure there's a verse in there for you. I'm sure there's a verse in there for me. Because God loves us. And God cares about us. And God wants our eternal best, which includes now. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to experience his joy. And so he's concerned for us. And he's written these good warnings for us. The verses right after this are very interesting. It applies to this as well. It says, also, when he sits on the throne, he shall write a book for himself, a copy of this law in a book. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. So God, speaking through Moses, hundreds of years in advance, specifically to Solomon, says, don't multiply horses from Egypt, don't multiply wives, don't multiply riches and gold for yourself, and write a book, make a copy of the Torah with your own handwriting, write it out, and keep it with you wherever you go, and read it all the days of your life. I wonder if Solomon did that. I wonder if Solomon read that. I mean, he certainly read the Torah at some point in his life. Especially the part that says the king of Israel should do this. Probably read that. I mean, maybe David read it to him. Maybe as a child. You know, you're going to be the next king. I promised it to your mom. This is what it says. You know, bedtime story. But I wonder if Solomon took the advice and wrote down his own personal Torah and kept it with him and read it all the time. I'd imagine if he did, he wouldn't have fallen. It's hard to write it all out and read it every day and disobey it every day. It might have, but it would have been very hard. And he might have written it out. He might have kept it with him from time, but he didn't keep it with him all of the days of his life. Because when he was old, the women, his wives, turned his heart away from the Lord. That might be good advice for us as well. You might want to take that challenge. You are a king and queen of God. He's going to make us kings and queens with him, sit on his throne with him. You might take that to heart. That might be the verse for you. Maybe start your own writing of your own Torah. Maybe the whole Bible. I haven't done it. Not that I think it's a bad idea. I think it's a good idea. But I haven't done it. I know someone who did. Just his own personal journal, was reading the Bible and began writing in his own handwriting, his own little paraphrase of how it spoke to him and what it meant to him, and put in his own words. And he wrote it out, and he wrote it out, and he wrote it out. And if I remember the story right, he was doing it for his niece or something like that, just kind of making the Bible a little bit easier for her, but he was enjoying doing it for himself as well. And he would share it with her. Well, she or someone in the family eventually took it, got it published and bound, and it has sold tons of copies. It's called the Clear Word Paraphrase. It's not a Bible, but it's a paraphrase of the Bible, whole thing. It's not bad. Just by starting and just doing this on his own. So you never know where it'll go and how many other people it'll bless. But if it'll keep you from sinning, it's well worth it. There's other people, like in the story that Gloria read to us today. She said, if you go into his Bible and go to Psalm 139, you'll see in the margin the dates when he claimed that promise out of that text. That's not a bad thing to do either. Write in your Bibles. It's okay. Underline verses. Highlight verses. Write what it means to you or a special time that it helped you. Claim some portion of it or some verse out of it. And write something in there if you want. Cross-reference it or have another Bible. Another people, a lot of people like to journal. Journaling is good. It's kind of similar to re-paraphrasing the Bible. But it's reading the Bible and then not writing word for word or verse for verse, but, you know, maybe write whatever it speaks to you about or how it applies to you that day. Kind of like writing your prayers, writing them out. Write out what you're thinking about when you're reading that verse. Maybe not every verse, but, you know, as you're reading, a certain verse might speak to you that morning. And you can write about that. But what all this does is it helps to solidify it in our minds. And that's good. Because you read it, that's one way. But then you read it, then you think about it, and then you rewrite it, and you're tripling the action. And if you read it out loud, that's good as well. Because then you're reading it, you're saying it, and then you're hearing it. All these different things to solidify the Word of God in our lives. But to read it every day, all the days of our life, will help keep us from falling. Reading all of it. Not just certain portions. Read through the Bible over and over and over again. There's different ways to do it. You can do it from Genesis on, or you can do it alphabetically, or you can do it chronologically, or you can jump around. You know, make sure you cover it broadly. So you don't only just cover the areas that don't speak to you and don't convict you. You know, you want the parts that say, the king don't marry lots of wives, don't build up gold for yourself, or whatever your issue is. Read the whole Bible, and there'll be a verse that speaks to you. And do this that his heart, now Solomon would have done this, the promise then is, so the commandment is to write it out all the days of his life, keep it with him. Promise is that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to turn to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong the days in his kingdom, and he and his children in the midst of Israel. That's a wonderful promise. That's what would have happened. That's what did not happen because Solomon did not obey, did not follow. His children, the kingdom, his days. He turned to the left and to the right. We follow the Word of God. Keep it ever before our minds. Reading it, absorbing it, sharing it, telling others. It solidifies us. Keeps us from falling. Keeps us from being lifted up. Keeps us from getting proud. Keeps us humble before the Lord. Keeps us in an attitude of repentance and confession and humility before God. Keeps us in a condition of security and peace in God's love and God's goodness to us. So we read over and over again God's wonderful commandments as well as God's wonderful promises. Wonderful God's messages to us and his plans for us and the hopes that he has for us. Solomon got involved in lots of wives. Solomon was the king. Solomon sought riches for himself. Solomon sought horses from Egypt. But there's another king who turned away from his riches. Another king who doesn't rely on the horses of Egypt but comes on his own white horse. A king who is not looking for many foreign wives, but a king who has left everything to come and seek his one and only bride. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I have betrothed you to one husband, talking about us, to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to the Messiah. And then Revelation 19, talking about the Messiah, to the Messiah, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. We are the bride of Messiah that he is coming for. And he will not marry an unequally yoked bride. He will not marry a bride that is not in tune and in harmony with him. And that's what he's waiting for. You want to know why we're not in heaven yet? You want to know why we're still stuck on this earth? It's not because there's not enough crime. It's not because there's not enough cruelty going on this earth. It's not because there's not enough ice caps that haven't melted. It's not because there's not enough poverty in this world. It's not enough suffering in this world. It's not because we haven't blown ourselves up yet. It's because God is waiting for his bride to get right, to become a chaste virgin. Not dating and fooling around with everything else in this world, but totally dedicated 100% to God. He's waiting for his wife to make herself ready. And when we get ready, when we get serious about God, then he can come. Come riding on his white horse, our knight in shining armor, on his white steed, to come and take us away to his glorious palace, to the new Jerusalem, to the mansions that he has prepared for us. You're still waiting on this earth for some earthly knight, some shining armor to come whisk you away and some white horse. Give up the dream and focus on the reality of God's word. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all those other things will be added unto you. Get right with God, corporately as a body, as a bride together, as a unified bride together, working together, believing together, moving forward together, sharing with other people, sharing God's word, sharing God's love, using the gifts and the talents that God has blessed us with and given to us for his purpose, for his honor, and for his glory. Then there'll be more people to fill up heaven. God's bride will be fatter than ever, and he'll love it even more. And then he'll come to take us all to be with him in heaven for all eternity. That's the glory that God wanted to manifest through Solomon. He wanted Solomon to be an example of the Messiah, to prefigure him. And Solomon had all the opportunity to do so. He was building Jerusalem. He was coming from the son of David. But he took his eyes off the prize. Keep our eyes on the Lord. Read God's word. Meditate it, even write it out. Keep it with you all day long, all the days of your life. Absorb it and share it with other people. Don't be lifted up with pride. Keep humble before the Lord. Don't store up riches for yourselves. Don't go seeking the protection of Egypt or of anything else. We'll be seeking relationships here on this earth that aren't godly relationships, that don't lead towards heaven, lead others towards heaven. But be used by God in building up his kingdom, being generous, being active, being humble, and seeking him and marrying him completely, being loyal and faithful to him. As we pray together, whatever area applies to your life, maybe there's some certain Bible text that's already speaking to your heart. Maybe there's some Bible text that God is bringing to your mind right now, and that's the text that God wrote for you, with you in mind, for this day. Maybe there's areas in your life as you think back and where you've blown it, and you think about how many other people are being affected by that as well. What is the ripple effect that could be taking place because of that one sin? We can pray and ask for God to intercede and to stop it. Stop the plague. Stop the damage. Maybe you're seeking after wives or husbands instead of seeking after the Lord. Maybe you're already married, and maybe you're seeking foreign wives or husbands. Maybe you're not reading the Word of God faithful as you should. Maybe your eyes aren't on the Messiah. Maybe you aren't on the Lord. Maybe you're making attachments to many foreign friends. Again, it's good to have lots of friends outside the faith so that we can share God's love with them. But if they're influencing us and pulling us down, then there's something wrong with that friendship. Maybe there's some area in your life. Maybe there's some promise you want to lay hold of tonight. You know, the promises of God that if we remain faithful to his word and read his word and keep it by our side all the time, that it will keep us from being lifted up, that it'll keep us from turning to the right hand or to the left, that our days will be prolonged in the kingdom of heaven, and that our children will be blessed, whether our birth children or our children that we share God's word with. If you want to claim that promise or some other promise of God's word, maybe for all things to be added on to you, whatever you need tonight, as we pray together, claim it for God's kingdom. And again, if God is looking for a chaste virgin bride that has made herself ready, he will give us the Spirit, he'll give us his Holy Spirit, he'll give us the power to be able to be overcomers with him. So if there's any sin in anyone's life here, I invite you to surrender it to the Lord, because he can give you victory over everything and anything. God is that big. God is that powerful. Again, he's coming back for a chaste, pure virgin bride. He wants to purify us and make us spotless. And he can do that by his power and his grace. So if there's any area in your life that needs to be surrendered, surrender it to God. Let him cleanse you through the blood of the Messiah. Let him transform you by the power of this Holy Spirit. And allow him to walk you in obedience by his grace. As we pray together. Our Lord and our God, King of the universe, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the insight and the example. We're sorry for Solomon's life, but Lord, I pray that through his life that souls will be saved. Through his mistake, people will be warned, and that there will actually be more people in the kingdom of heaven as a result of this record being in the Word of God. And that there'll be more people in the kingdom of heaven as us covering this topic tonight. Lord, may your word not come back void, but may it go forth and fulfill the purpose that you have given it. And Lord, so the word that was spoken tonight, I pray that it'll impact our lives, each person here, in whatever specific personal way that you have purposed it for. And Lord, whatever area applies to each of us individually here tonight, whether it's dealing with relationships, whether interpersonal relationships here on this earth, or whether our relationship with you, whether it's our reading of your word, whether it's issue of pride, or whether surrender, or building up wealth for ourselves, or protection for ourselves, or seeking after spouses, or wrong relationships, whether it's decision to be more faithful to you, or to read your word more faithfully, or maybe it's to journal, or write out your word, whatever, Lord, you're speaking to us tonight. Lord, come inside us and fulfill it and live it out. Give us the gift of repentance. Give us the gift of holiness. Lord, and perfect your bride. Bring us into unity. Bring us into oneness. Oneness with you and oneness with each other. Bring us into harmony in your word. Bring us into wholeness, righteousness, and purity. Cover us with your robe. And give us victory, and take us from victory to victory, from righteousness to righteousness. In Yeshua's holy name, amen.